Hey everybody, welcome to the Amateur Tarot Pod, the only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions.
For entertainment purposes only.
There we go. That's what I thought you were going to say the first time when you started just tearing me apart.
Well, yeah. This was much better, by the way.
Oh, good.
You did a good job this time.
Wow, my sound levels are peaking.
All right, well, turn now. All right, well,
yours are pretty high, too.
That host adjusting the sound levels as we speak is Brian Dooley.
And that host who is tearing me apart is Ben Noble.
And that sweet, sweet, beautiful voice you're also hearing is our guest this week, Emmy Brady.
Welcome, Emmy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be really fun.
I hope so. I'm going to have fun.
Should we say any more about Emmy? Should Emmy say more about Emmy?
Yeah, definitely. Nobody comes to listen to us.
So I'm the creator of a forthcoming tarot deck called the Brady Tarot, which is named after me, Emmy Brady. I have been working on this project for about 2 years, maybe a little bit less, and it's a deck about North American animals and plants and Native American lore and science, and it's all lino cuts, which is a type of printmaking.
Yeah, you like carve into rubber type stuff?
Yes, I carve into a material called linoleum. Not like linoleum floors, but it's a specific like artist linoleum. So I carve into that and then make basically a glorified rubber stamp. And then I stamp it onto paper. And then once it dries, I hand color it with watercolor or gouache.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was 79 hand-colored lino cuts. So it took close to 2 years.
But now you have this completed deck, and you had a super successful Kickstarter.
Yes, the Kickstarter was way more successful than I expected. And really, the Kickstarter is not over yet. I still need to ship out to those guys, and I'm waiting for the rest of my decks to arrive now. I had to rush order to be able to keep my tour dates.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, is you're on a big tour right now.
I am, and I've done two stops so far. The first stop we did was in Kansas City, and that was at Oracle, which is a totally awesome place.
Is that like a mysticism shop? Or?
Yes, but it's also, it was a good place for me to go for that first stop because there's like woo-woo, but then there's also a lot of science
in it too.
And I am very interested in what that intersection looks like.
Sure.
And so it's been really cool to meet other people that are also interested in that.
That's awesome.
But those guys are, if you're ever in Kansas City, you should go to Oracle.
Yeah, it sounds kind of perfect for like somebody like Ben or me, where we're completely skeptical.
Yep.
We don't believe in anything magical or fun, but we're way into the tarot. Well, yeah. I am.
You are.
Ben just shows up.
So then why are you into it without being interested in the esoteric aspect of it?
Very interested in the esoteric
aspect.
Just no belief. Every time I flip over a card, there's a card that I wish that it would be, and if that card ever is it, then that'll be proof to me that magic exists.
That's never happened to you?
It has, but not any of the times that I've specifically said.
I don't think that's how it works.
Well, that's the way I test magic.
It's true, but I think that maybe, you know, there's proof that observation and desire changes outcomes. And I think that when you try to scientifically test things, you're not going to be able to duplicate it.
Yeah.
Because it's like looking at it in that way changes the outcome.
Then I'm always going to be just on this side of magic.
So that makes sense. That makes sense. That's fair.
Also, we should mention that background music that you hear and those people talking, that's not Brian's attic. We should mention that we are at the Fortune Teller Bar
in
tonight.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Brian's come out of the attic.
Yep. That's me.
And this is where I did my second tour stop at the Fortune Teller Bar in St. Louis. And it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we're in a little room off to the side that's like an apothecary type situation. There's a lot of sage hanging up and different potions and stuff up on the shelves. It's pretty cool. I think probably we'll have some pictures on the website.
Probably.
Lots of wood trim and, you know, taxidermied stuff.
Well, beyond interviewing cool people, here's what we do on this show. We read the tarot, but we're not very good at it. And so we do it in a very specific way.
What way is that, Ben?
The way that is that the spread that we use is very simple. We just draw three cards, and in the order that we draw them, they indicate the recent past, the current action, and the future 100% money-back spiritual gold guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only outcome.
And then after that, we also do a card of the week.
Yes.
And so that's pretty cool.
That's cool. But not as cool as the outro, my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, because then Ben gets to leave, and that's his favorite part of everything.
I understand.
So that's what we have on offer today.
So, Emmy, if it's okay with you, I think we're going to just get right over to Queerance Corner.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right, let's do it. All right, here we are in Queerance Corner.
We've made it.
It
looks
very interesting this week.
It's different this week.
We're still in that apothecary shop, just a weird corner of it.
Yes. Right next to the salamanders.
Right next to the what?
Salamanders.
Oh, yes. And newts. They may be newts.
Eye of Newt.
Anyway, this week we are lucky enough to be able to use the Brady Tarot that Emmy created. And so, Ben, why don't you, in front of the creator, go ahead and take your first look at this deck and tell us how many stars it gets.
All right, well, insert knuckle-cracking sound here.
I'm so excited. Please don't hold back.
Well, here's what's great about the Brady Tarot. It comes in a giant wooden box, a very heavy wooden box, with the lino-cut imagery on the side. Slide it open. There's a very nice pocket-sized book. Is it pocket-sized? If you have a big pocket, it's pocket-sized.
Yeah, like men's jeans pockets.
Yeah.
I like to think it's just big enough to be able to be functional.
Okay. Because some tarot decks, they come with these giant books.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
And some come with a little white book.
So I should mention that book is written by the legendary tarot author Rachel Pollack.
Yeah.
Who's amazing. She basically taught me how to read the tarot because, you know, through her books.
How long have you been reading tarot?
Maybe like 13 or 14 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not super long. But
we're right at 2
years. Oh, okay.
Like we're about to have our 2-year anniversary show.
There's so much to learn.
Yeah, every week I learn more.
I never stop learning.
What's something you learned this year?
Something I learned
not
this
you.
Year.
Not you. Nobody cares about you.
Oh, I was wondering, like, why do you suddenly have an interest in me?
I don't.
Okay, that makes sense now.
Well, this year specifically?
Yeah, or recently.
One of the things that I kind of was able to solidify this year was looking at the kings in the decks.
Ryan's very afraid of court cards.
Court cards, yeah, so the court cards. So the kings, they're all pricks except for the king of pentacles, who's an okay guy. But all the other ones are jerks. Or they can be. They can be overbearing, and that's like kind of a commonality you see in those court cards. But then for whatever reason, the king of pentacles, well, he's down to earth. That's why.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So if we get the king of pentacles, I'll read that.
Magic
one.
Is real.
So, yes, if we get the King of Pentacles in our reading today, then magic is real.
Okay. I have been pulling that card a lot in the readings that I've done for myself, but I, you know, clearly now that we're like focusing energy on it, it's probably not going to happen. So in my deck, all the court cards are, instead of the traditional names, they are mother, father, son, and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the four suits have also changed, but they're analogous to the original suits. So wands are feathers. Pentacles are roots. Cups are horns. And swords are arrows.
Okay.
Okay. That saved me for having to describe all that. So that is all true. I've had some time now to leaf through this deck. And Brian?
Yes?
I'm impressed.
You're impressed?
I'm begrudgingly impressed.
Uh-oh, this may be at least 3 stars.
This is going to be greater than or equal to 3 stars.
Oh, good.
So, the art is great. Got nice lino-cut art, as was described by Emmy. We also have this really cool, I mean, I guess you already kind of said this. Maybe you said it off-air, maybe you said it on-air, but there's a really cool, like, Native American theme.
Yes.
A lot of animal imagery, and I like that father, mother, daughter, son idea. That's, I'm going to go 4 stars.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I ripped it off of the handle deck.
What is that?
It's a deck that was created by a German painter, I think in the maybe late 80s or in the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
So can I ask?
Yeah.
And I know that very few decks make 5 stars. What was lacking?
Oh, man. How incredibly awkward for me.
No, I want to know. I love this. I love looking at and hearing critique.
Ben's star system on blast.
I know. Seriously, my star system is mostly arbitrary. It's mostly just a gut feeling.
Fair
although,
enough.
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I
Well, let me tell you a little bit more about the deck, and maybe I can sway you to make this a 5-star rating.
Okay.
It's tough to sway.
This deck is a real deal. I worked with a lot of intuitive processes to create the images, and the Native American imagery are based on myth and legend, but also a Native American understanding of the earth and the things that live on it and in it. The work that I would do, so okay, when I was making this deck, I didn't go in order. I did the major arcana first, and then I did the minor. And the way that I determined which card I would do next is by rolling dice, because it was random. Cool. And I would assign, you know, each card a you know, what kind of dice roll or whatever. And what I found was I would often roll the same card I was thinking about, which was really cool.
Magic
but,
is real.
Well, you know, it's as real as you allow it to be, I think. And I found that using this method of the dice rolls made it very spontaneous. And so I would go into the card without having any idea what I was going to do. Like, I wouldn't sketch it first or anything. And I sat down. I would sit down and just kind of let images rise up in my imagination.
So you didn't even really have an idea when you sat down of what the card was going to look like?
No. Sometimes some of the images would flash in my head, like, fully formed. And so I'd get to that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the card that I saw, you know, 3 cards ago. Mm-hmm. And then I would get to do that. But, you know, a lot of them were me sitting down and kind of, I guess not being in a meditative state, but I was literally just sitting on my back porch, like, smoking weed.
Brian, are you going to bleep that?
I'll beep that out.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine.
No, you're good.
I was literally sitting on my back porch.
Drinking lemonade. Well, you put that in over?
Yeah, you live in a state where that's not a beepable offense.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I would sit on my back porch and stare into space.
Okay.
And just kind of let the images come to me. And what I found, and you guys are going to love this because this is woo-woo as shit. You're gonna love this. What I found is that these images would start to come to me in pieces often. And it was very much like looking into a well and seeing dark forms rising up to the surface of the water. And at first you're like, you see maybe an arm and a leg and you're not really sure what it is. And then slowly the whole thing kind of comes into focus. And what I would find is that, you know, the meanings of the cards, I would think about like the basic meanings of the cards while I was doing this. And then and usually an animal would come to me in that moment. And I would be, oh, that's really interesting. I'm going to do a little research about it. And I found that often there was a specific Native American myth that I had no idea about that would correlate with that idea of the card and that animal that I saw.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, this is a real deal. Like, I don't own the images in this deck because they were given to me, and I made them what they were supposed to be.
Well, we'll do this. We'll do the reading, and then we'll come back to the reading.
Okay.
We've done that before.
I've done that before. You can still give it a 4.
I'm ready to be swayed. I feel like if every deck creator was here to talk to us every time we did their decks, we would give it a lot higher ratings.
Oh, no, wait, don't, it's okay, really.
Well, no, I think because of the deeper understanding of the
process. Yeah, not because I feel bad, but
art.
Because now that you've talked to us about it, and it's very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, don't worry, okay. Ben has no shame.
That's great.
All right, well, I'm shuffling it now. Brian, why don't you get our question
Okay, well, since we're in a satellite location today, I printed out the question, so it's all ready to go. So we'll just listen to you shuffle for a second.
No, but you can read it.
Oh, you want me to go ahead and say the question from the person?
Yeah, that's normally how the reading starts.
Okay. All right. So this week our question comes from Jessica. And Jessica doesn't have a place that she's from because she's from...
Everywhere.
Instagram.
She's from the internet.
But Jessica asks a very straightforward question. How will my life be in 2019?
Well, it's 2 months away.
Yeah, so in 2 months, what are the next 12 months going to be like?
Okay. Well, I've shuffled.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right.
Should I hand the deck back across the table to you?
We can let Emmy flip the things okay. over.
Should I shuffle it as well, or?
If you want to shuffle it, you
is it okay if I shuffle it too? Okay.
Ben, you got this question from Instagram, right?
Yes.
Well, that was a very aggressive shuffle. That was
awesome. That's a good power. I like a good powerful shuffle.
I have tiny hands, so I can't like riffle shuffle. But
I have that problem with some decks, with the very large decks.
Yeah, this is actually very standard size.
Yeah.
But the paper is just such a thick stock that it feels like it's bigger.
It feels good.
I think it feels like velvet in my hands.
What makes good cardstock for you for a deck? That's actually a question I've been thinking of since I found out I was going to interview a deck maker.
You know, I just listened to the advice that the people who made the deck gave me about that.
Yeah.
And I wanted a thicker stock. I got all reversed.
Oh. Well.
Well.
We should tell you.
Guess what?
We'll flip those around because we don't
reverse. Just go ahead and turn those right side up.
All right, all right. We're turning
that's
around.
Okay.
That's
okay. If we're allowed.
That's totally fine.
All right, so.
Do you want me to do it like this so you can see it, or?
Nah.
Or we can pass it around?
Yeah, I think we'll just pass each card around.
Perfect. All right, so our pass card.
Oh, so Emmy just flipped over the three cards.
Flip.
And so we have them done.
We won't look ahead.
Yeah, we aren't looking ahead, but that's just our different style of reading.
That's a beautiful thing about the tarot is that there's no wrong way to do it.
Yeah, there's three people at this table, and there's probably three different ways that we need to do it.
It's wonderful. And,
yeah.
So our first card is the Seven of Feathers, a.k.a. the Seven of Wands, and this card shows two bulls squaring off for a fight.
They're bison.
Two bison squaring off for a fight. And there's storm clouds in the air. Also, a nice thing about this deck is Emmy has very helpfully included the keywords associated with each minor arcana card, and this keyword is power.
One thing I'll point out about that card is that you have the storm clouds that are above the bison, and there's a bolt of lightning that is striking between the clouds, so it's not actually touching the ground. The Seven of Wands, or the Seven of Feathers in my deck, is about the exchange of power in some ways, but it's like a no blame kind of situation. It's kind of similar in some ways to the Five of Feathers or Five of Wands, and that keyword is rivalry. Mm-hmm. But with power, it's more about inner power, and it's about this power that it's like you're flexing your muscles, but you know, the lightning isn't striking the ground. It's not destructive.
Okay. Because the way that I always think about is similar. It's similar to power, the Seven of Wands, because you have the Five of Wands, and you're sort of like kind of on equal footing with everybody. And then in the Six of Wands, you've succeeded. But now in the Seven of Wands, you have to defend that success that you've already achieved.
Right.
And so it's defending your power.
So I think in my deck, actually, my interpretation of that card deviates from the standard Waite-Smith model. And that's true for some of my cards, but not most of them, very few of them. But with the Seven of Feathers, I feel like that is about an inner power, not just a physical power. And it's you know, you've earned that, and mm-hmm. you're showing it. And if you get it, I know you guys don't read in reversals, but if you get reversed, then it's like could be someone abusing that power.
Oh, okay.
So,
for our querent, Jessica, mm-hmm. this card's probably saying that, like, this past year has been a pretty good one. One where Jessica's been kind of owning that power and owning that responsibility.
Yeah, possibly by the end of 2018, you're just coming to a very solid place. You're going into 2019 from a place of strength.
I should point out, Jessica, that if this is the exact opposite, I did draw these cards in reverse. But they don't read in reversals, and I
respect that. That's too hard. That's too hard for two rank amateurs.
No, that's fair.
We can only memorize 78.
Should we go ahead to the next one?
Yes, we've already flipped it, but I will pick it up from the table now and view it for the first time. We have another wands card. We have the Four of Wands.
The Four of...
Or the Four of the Feathers. Four feathers. Yeah, whatever. It's the same thing.
Optimism. We have... Are they badgers?
No, they are white-tailed prairie dogs. Or no, I'm sorry, black-tailed prairie dogs.
All right.
And what they're doing is a behavior known as the jump-yip.
Okay.
And
go on.
The jump-yip is something that scientists are not totally sure exactly why they do it, but they think they have noticed one of the correlations with when all the prairie dogs start doing it, because one will do it, and then it's infectious, and all of the whole town will start doing it, and it's like this wave of, they jump up in the air, raise their arms up, and go, yip, and then like fall back down on their butts. It's so adorable.
It looks like they're having the time of their lives.
Yeah, right, and it's a really awesome sight. I see it sometimes in Denver, like on the plains. But what scientists have discovered when they do that, after doing that, their foraging times are much longer afterwards. And so I kind of took that to say, like, all's clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are good. Let's rejoice. Let's party while we can. Which I think the Four of Wands often is kind of about that. And in the image, you have one prairie dog in the foreground that's raising its arms up into the air in the middle of its jump yip. And then there's several prairie dogs behind him in the distance, kind of in different stages of the jump yip. And right outside the burrow, there are four feathers sticking out of the ground in the foreground. And those are prairie falcon feathers. And the prairie falcon is the biggest predator to the black-tailed prairie dog. So the feathers are on the earth. You know, they're not in the sky.
Right.
And so things are okay.
Okay.
You know, like the thing that could eat them is not around. It's been grounded. And the other thing that you see are several these little yellow waxy flowers. And those are prairie coreopsis, and they're just the most bright, sunny, beautiful, little, tiny prairie flowers you don't ever see. So, yeah, optimism.
This is good. This is another very positive reading for Jessica and her coming year.
Yes.
It's going to start off on a good foot.
And should we go on to...
100% guaranteed future, et cetera, for entertainment purposes only outcome?
Yep.
Yes, we should. And Brian... You're in for a treat. You'll never believe what card it is. It's our favorite card.
Oh my gosh, the Ten of Feathers,
it's a major arcana card.
The Magician?
No.
Wow, you guys have a lot of favorites.
I do have a lot of favorite cards.
Okay, maybe it's not our favorite card, but it's a very popular card in the lore.
Oh wait, is it Harry Potter?
Totally.
It's the Moon.
Oh, it's the Lobster Path.
It's the Lobster Path. All right, so...
There are so many favorite
cards.
And
that image is very much influenced by the Waitsmith Moon.
Yeah, so you have, again, the giant lobster coming out of the body of water.
You know it's not a lobster, right? It's crawfish.
What's the difference?
A lobster is much, much larger. And a crawfish is a little mud bug.
All right, but this guy looks... This is a really big crawfish.
Yeah, we still call it a lobster, but it's not a lobster.
But why have you been deceiving me for 80 episodes?
Because...
You guys have done 80 episodes of this?
This is our 91st episode.
We've done 90 episodes?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I called it a lobster before out of ignorance, and then once we say something on the show, it becomes canon.
It is true.
So...
But I never
understood.
And we don't ever have the artist with us
to correct us. All right, so we have the quote-unquote lobster crawling out of the water. There's two coyotes, and then the salt and pepper shakers have been replaced with two big trees, one of which has a possum in them.
Both of them have possums in
them. Oh, there it is. I see it. Then there's the moon and a big owl in front of the moon.
And that's a barred owl.
Okay.
So
a bard, like, plays a lute?
No, like bard, like it has bars. Barring on its chest. It has a barred pattern.
Ah.
That is supposed to be somewhere in Louisiana, which is why
it's
crawdad.
And so the moon, and I'm sure Emmy will jump in and expand on this, but the moon is about things that are hidden from you, things that are in your subconscious that you can't quite put your finger on, you can't see yet.
And it's about finding your path and following that path, even though you don't know what's coming up. Like, you have enough light to navigate, but not enough light to see everything that's going on. And I think that that's something important as you move into the latter part of the year. Possibly this dead-on prediction is not going to extend 100%. And so you'll have to take some things on faith, you'll have to make some guesses, and you'll have to get through things based on your own strength that you've built up in 2018.
I would like to add that the sun and the moon, those two cards, they have a very interesting relationship. And obviously we don't have the sun here, but I feel like with optimism, that's like a very sunny card. So I just want to point out, with the sun, the light of the sun gives you reality. You see things very clearly when it's under sunlight. But the light of the moon can distort things. And so sometimes when you get the moon card, it's important to remember that your anxiety is not always reality. And so understanding that, and like having maybe a little compassion towards yourself. You may be about to go through kind of a difficult time, but you're going to be able to get through it. And yeah, I mean, the moon is also like lunacy. There's kind of an insanity about the moon too. But the owl is accustomed to the darkness and learns how to navigate by the moon. So sometimes you just have to kind of let your eyes adjust to the darkness.
What a difference having like a professional makes,
so much better than we are.
I hope that's helpful for you, Jessica.
Yeah, you're not Jessica. I'm not talking about you.
That's fair.
Emmy, do you want to do the honors of just kind of recapping everything that we've seen here and tying it together?
Wait, can I say one more thing about the moon real quick?
Sorry.
Something else that does kind of tie in, but I'm not going to step on your toes, is another one of my favorite things about the moon is that the moon is incredibly powerful through no fault of its own. Like, it just is that strong. Like, it controls the tides, even though it never touches us. It controls so much on our planet and in our society just by being. And so a lot of the time we are the moon and we don't realize our strength and we don't realize where we're touching other people's lives. And so it's important to just step back sometimes and look from outside yourself and see how strong you really are when you're dealing with these difficult situations.
What a difference Brian becoming a professional makes.
Cool. So you want me to recap this
reading? Yeah.
All right. So Jessica, you asked about what is going to be like, what your life is going to be like in 2019. And it's funny because you did a past, present, future spread, and that's like, we're not actually telling you at all what's going to happen in 2019 until that last card. But I will say this. This, like, gives you a good overview of kind of where you've been, where you were, and where you're going. So in the past, you were on top with your inner power. You were wielding it responsibly and also wanting to jump in and take challenges because you had belief in your own strength and power. Then in the present, you're in a situation where it's like, all right, things are good. Things are looking good. Maybe in the future there might be some difficulty, but I have optimism now and I'm moving forward. And that was the four of feathers. And the one previous was the seven of feathers. And then finally in the future, you have the moon. And it's understanding that walking through the darkness sometimes take some time to get adjusted to, and that things look scarier under the light of the moon than they do under the light of the sun. There's still an inner power, which I feel like mirrors that seven of feathers, but there is perhaps an element of anxiety about it, and especially anxiety about the things you can't control. But you're going to get through it.
All right. Well, I'm really not just saying this. I really have been swayed. So we can do a very rare five-star.
All right.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say you were going to bump it down to three.
No, I have been swayed. This is a very, very beautiful deck.
Well, Jessica, I hope that helped. We are going to step out of Quirin's Corner now.
Wow, I forgot we were even in it.
That's okay.
That corner feels big once you get in it.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump out.
Okay.
And now we're going to jump into a new spot in the show.
Okay.
The sponsor spot.
Why didn't we just jump straight into it? Why did we have to go out and then we've got to go in and we've got to go here?
Because
I've
got music bumps for everything.
Can't just be one? Smash them together.
No.
Put them on top of each other.
We had a fan who created a music bump for us. I'm not going to not use that.
Well, that's for something else. That's for
The sponsor. Oh, no, that is for Card of the Week.
Yeah.
Yeah, sponsor spot. Well, here we are.
Great. We made it. All right, Brian.
So we want to talk right now about Indie Deck Review. And Indie Deck Review is a group of 13 tarot professionals and quasi-professionals. Yes, enthusiast is a good word for it. And then other guests making appearances from time to time. But they're doing everything to promote independent deck makers like Emmy and artists and anybody who's doing something in the divinatory world.
Ooh.
That is not doing it through one of the three major publishing houses, you're welcome at Indie Deck Review. And it's a place where we'll be reviewing decks and reviewing books and reviewing different places and events. And it'll have interviews with creators and all kinds of great stuff like that.
Yeah, those dudes are cool.
All right. Well, that's IndieDeckReview.com.
IndieDeckReview.com. They also have an Instagram and a Facebook.
At Indie Deck Review?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Card of the Week.
Wait. Yeah. Let's leave this place.
Okay.
And go to the Card of
the Week. I was excited. Wait. Now you can play the music.
Yes. Now I'll play that music. And here we are at Card of the Week. And this week, we are using, because it's still Shocktober, we are using the Halloween deck that I just received today.
All right. Well, we have the Halloween tarot.
Just in time.
Playing card style. Well, the back has a spooky cat and a spooky spider.
It's very orange and black.
It is. And then inside, we have delightful Halloween drawings.
Are they delightful, Ben?
They are very delightful. They're like Nightmare Before Christmas.
I've never seen you gush this much.
They're delightful.
I feel like delightful is kind of my word, because you're never this happy about something.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the new location. So we have pumpkins, we have bats, we have ghosts, and we have, I've got to find one. Imps, I think? Imps. All right, those are our suits. This is you probably can't use this outside of October, but if it's October...
I know some people who would take the challenge.
Outside. Is it a double five-star day?
Is it?
It might be.
That is a first
in
history.
This is a lovely, like, if you're in the market for a Halloween deck, this is an excellent deck.
Awesome. Is it a double five-star day? Did you just
make
that happen?
It's never happened before, but here it is.
Wow.
My God.
That makes today a 10-star day. You are witnessing history, Emmy. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, come back every week.
It's my pleasure. I think I might be a good lecturer or something.
All right, well, I'm shuffling. And Brian, tell them what the card of the week is while I do that.
The card of the week is for everybody. It's for Jessica, of course, but she already had a big question answered. But this
by a professional.
Yeah.
You know, actually, Jessica, if you guys don't mind, there's a spread that Rachel Pollack made for the deck.
Oh,
and
yeah?
And it's a spread for someone who is on a journey or about to begin a journey. And I think that... it won't take long.
Okay.
But I think that spread might actually be really helpful.
Okay.
Because the past, present, future is like, it's like 2/3 of the reading focuses on not the question.
Right.
Although it's nice to like have a context about things.
Okay, cool. So she just comes on our show and just like smashes us and tells us our reading's no good.
No.
She's got her own deck, her own spread.
I'll accept it.
Too good for us.
I just think it's cool.
No, you should do it.
and Jessica, you're just like getting a 2 for. But I didn't. Wait, where were you? Okay.
No. You go ahead and do this.
Okay. We're here.
We'll cut it and put it back in.
Let's do the card of the week.
Oh.
And then we will go back and do this. And then.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
No, that's
I get all ADD and excited about stuff. So.
No, if we didn't have this outline, we'd never get through an episode.
That's fair.
So. All right, so our card of the week this week, flip. We have the Queen of Bats.
Oh, it's definitely looks like the Queen of Swords from the Waite Smith deck. But you got a bat and some moths, death head moths. And you have a little imp peeking out behind the Queen of Bats' throne. And the moon has a pretty funny look on its face. It looks pretty happy.
And, oh, it does look very much like the Queen of Swords, which that is what it is analogous to. So,
So that's good.
Little white book for the Queen of Bats says, there's no keywords, a smart, intuitive, intense woman who lives alone. Confrontational, but not aggressively so. Emotionally detached, but not inhuman. So it has no divinatory meanings attached to it. So we're really just floating out in space right now as far as how we're going to spin this for everyone's week.
I think the Queen of Bats, she has a killer instinct that she doesn't want to trust because that would mean that there's an aspect of woo-woo in it. And
I feel like it's a very pointed read.
No, I mean, this is really how I feel about the Queen of Swords, truly. And, you know, the Queen of Bats or whatever. But she needs to listen to her gut. I think it's like, for a card like this to be like a card of the week, maybe it's time to pay attention to how you interact with people and see if you are pushing people away.
So, quit pushing people away.
That's it.
But that's your advice this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rule is whoever spoke last spoke rightest. So you have given...
That
is the rule on the show.
All right, fair.
That's the rules.
Yeah, I play by your rules then. I'm playing by your rules.
So yeah, this week, make sure that you're not
pushing people away. Not being emotionally detached. Open up a little bit. Open up your heart.
All right.
That's card of the week. Can we get to my favorite part of the show?
Yeah. I thought you'd never ask, Ben.
Great. We've made it.
First, let's thank Jessica for sending in her question on Instagram.
Thank you.
And thanks, Jessica.
Thanks, Ben, for doing the Instagram stuff. Really appreciate that.
No problem.
And thanks to Emmy for being here. Really, really appreciate that.
Yeah,
it's been my pleasure.
And a thank you to the LOLs, the Legions of Loyal Listeners out there.
Oh, that's what LOLs are.
The Legions of Listeners.
Yeah, and then a moment of relative silence for our Lost LOLs of the week. And Ben, where can they find us?
All right, well, they can find us at amateurtarot.com. That's a website, and on that website you can ask us questions, which keep the show going, as well as look at photos of the cards. You can probably look at some photos from the exciting event that we had tonight. We also have an email address at amateurtarotreading@gmail.com.
We have a phone number that you can call or text us at 314-325-6047. And if you call within the next 10 minutes of us recording this episode, you go ahead.
No, you go.
We'll get two gifts this week.
All right. Well, I was just going to say, as much off the walls in this apothecary shop fit in my pocket, that's what you get.
Excellent. I was going to say, I'll send you a 6-pack of Hellraiser Dark Amber non-alcoholic beer.
Well, there you go. Two incentives to call in the next 10 minutes from us recording this episode.
The clock is ticking.
All right. We have a Twitter, @TarotAmateur. We have an Instagram, Amateur Tarot. Brian has a Twitter, Zen Iron Man. There's no tarot on that Twitter.
No, not really.
That's a tongue twister.
And Ben has... Did somebody just call? No. I thought somebody just called, and we were going to have to steal things from this apothecary shop.
Oh, no.
Ben has a website at imakingallthisup.com where he takes artists and business people and smushes them together into our business people.
All right, well, here's the thing, Brian. Maybe you don't... You know, you have this laptop turned around when we record. It's facing the wall, but now that I'm looking at it, my sticker's on there, but it's covered up by two other stickers.
Yeah, I get a lot of stickers.
Okay, great. All right, well, we have a Facebook group.
That's not even your logo anymore.
It's not my logo anymore. We have a Facebook group, the name of which is very long, but just look for Amateur Tarot on Facebook and you'll find the group. It's fun. People post pictures and talk about cards.
And then this is the time when you get to pimp your stuff real hard, Emmy.
BradyTarot.com.
Yeah, the website is BradyTarot.com. You can also find me on Instagram @Brady.Tarot. And I really hope that you guys are interested in the deck. It's all indie done.
It's a V nice deck.
It is.
I tried.
please rate and review us on iTunes. It doesn't cost anything. It helps us out a lot. Emmy would personally really appreciate it if you gave us a good rating and review on iTunes.
That's what she said.
Yep.
And it's true. You do, then maybe you'll get, then definitely you will get read on the air, like this week's review of the week by Shannon Ten Marie. And her review is really fun. 5 stars. And Emmy, do you want to read this review?
Sure, I'll read the review.
I just like hearing people say nice things.
Mm. I wanted to update this since I've listened to so much more since my first review. Ben and Brian have really upped their game. Their banter is hilarious, and the advice via tarot is always really sound. I like to imagine them as the human versions of Timon and Pumbaa, as they dole out quality words of wisdom with injections of buddy humor. It's still solid entertainment.
Thank you, Shannon Ten Marie.
Thanks, Shannon Ten Marie.
So then what Lion King character would I be?
Mm. Nala?
Yeah. No?
That's all right. Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
Who would you prefer to be? Who do you see yourself as?
Now we put you on the spot.
Yeah, well, while you're thinking,
one of the little beetles, probably, that Timon eats.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or maybe one of the ones he doesn't eat.
That'd probably be better for
you. Yeah, for you.
I wouldn't mind being a beetle. All
right, well, this is the part of the outline we've come to where it just says thank you to. Thank you to the Lion King for a lot of good memories and lessons.
Yeah, for like 30 years of good times.
Yeah. Well, that's the show. We've done it. I can leave.
We did it again. Get out of here, Ben.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
All right, here we go. This is a special reading for Jessica, again, that was made specifically for this deck.
Rachel Pollack made this spread, and it's great for a journey. So if you feel like you're about to take a journey or you're on a journey, it'd be a good spread. Looks like we only have one reversal. Okay, and I do read in reversals, so I'll read these. So the first card we have here is Where You Are Now, and it's the Ten of Roots, and the keyword is wealth. And this card could be about, like, you are flush with cash and you're good on that end, but there's a deeper meaning to this card. And Rachel likes to say that this is a doorway card, or, yeah, like a doorway card. And what that means is that it has a deeper meaning just beyond the surface. And the Ten of Roots really is about having a spiritual connection. Like, I think where you are now, you're feeling that. You're feeling that you've been reconnecting to something greater than yourself. So that's where you are now. What will send you on your journey is the Daughter of Feathers, and she is someone who is very bright and very passionate about what she does, and often she's seen as a bearer of good news. So if you're waiting to hear back about something, you're going to get good news about it. Or you've already gotten it, and that's like, maybe you got accepted into a college or something like that. But yeah, there's like some good news in that that's going to send you forward. The next is What Will Challenge Me, and that's the Seven of Horns. And this is one of my favorite cards in the deck because there's just like so much going on. But this card is basically about being distracted by daydreams or fantasies. You know, it could be like a good example is playing 12 hours of video games, you know, and not taking care of the stuff you're supposed to be taking care of. The image you see in this card, it's a giant beaver's dam. There are two beavers sitting on the top and they're sleeping, and underneath you can see that the dam has sprung leaks and all of this water is pouring into these horn ladles. And yeah, just be careful. Be careful about falling into a fantasy realm and not taking care of the stuff you need to take care of. This card on that could be like kind of its extreme version, but one of the things that will challenge you could also be that you don't have enough imagination and your challenge is to try to reach out farther with your imagination and whatever it is that you're trying to do. That's what will challenge you. What will help you right now is a High Priestess reversed, and I think maybe just taking a straightforward approach to whatever it is that you're dealing with is going to be the best way to go. The High Priestess upright would be going into the darkness, kind of what we were talking about with the moon, but the High Priestess has a little bit more control over things than the moon does. The High Priestess reversed, on the other hand, would be maybe it's time to seek the light in some ways and like see things practically and less like mystically. That is going to help you. Challenge me, will help me. The next card is What Will I Discover? And it's the Four of Arrows, and the keyword is withdrawal. In the image, you see a greater Patu, which are these really super weird birds, and I would highly recommend that you look up and see what they look like, because they're hilarious. And what Patus do is when they're threatened, they find the end of a dead tree branch, and they elongate their bodies and stand perfectly still. And they just disappear. They disappear right in front of you. And so what you're going to discover is that there are times where you need to withdraw your energy. And that does not mean necessarily that you have to disappear and not show your face, but it just means you might have to not apply as much time and energy into things, maybe, that you normally would. It's also a time, perhaps, what you're going to discover is that you are able to do that more easily than you were in the past. And this is like a place. It also comes from a place of self-preservation. And spending time by yourself is not selfish. Okay. And then the last one is, What Will I Become? And it is the Star. And that's a really positive card. I think that what the Star is, and it's funny because that other reading, it was the moon, and then you have the Star. And so maybe to me what you will become is someone who is able to recuperate and rest after something difficult, and someone who is able to bask in the starlight and not like have to go super deep on things, just kind of being happy with where you are. The Star usually happens after a difficult time, so, you know, with the moon, again, I would say, like, do some self-care in the future. If you're having a lot of anxiety and you're really struggling with that, it's okay to take a mental health day off and, you know, watch trashy TV and eat ice cream, and you're encouraged to do so. So I hope that helps.
Awesome. That's cool.